And it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of what the fans are afraid of and also a little bit of what the fans are wanting. Hello again, nerds. Welcome to another news episode. In this episode, we are full of follow-ups for almost all of the things. We also have Star Wars coming out of our ears in the rumor section, and Halo in as many sections as is physically freaking possible. So we've got all of that and a bunch of stuff to get to. We do have no exceptional housekeeping to break through, just, you know, the push, trying to push up everything over 1,000 subs and follows and whatnot so that we can start to land some bigger interviews and more regular interviews. So if you are only following on one of the social medias, maybe go find one of the other ones. Or if you're only following on the YouTube, you should definitely find me on one of the social media outlets, the Twitter, Facebook, Getter, Instagram, Gab. I think I'm on all of those and maybe something else, Rumble, but that's kind of like the YouTube. Anyway, so yeah, go follow on one of those platforms or multiple of those platforms. And let's get to shout outs for this section already. So we're going to start things off with Getter shoutouts. Over on Getter, there is one new follower. The name of this new follower is I Will Be Free. At least that is their screen name. And the at is at NewsmaxFan. Thank you very much, Nerd, for the follow. The Newsmax thing kind of falling in line with the stereotype of Getter users, but I am totally okay with that. If you wish to follow over on Getter because you have shunned Twitter, then by all means do that. I am at Generally Nerdy. And then we're going to switch over, speaking of alternative platforms, Rumble. We have three new followers on Rumble. I do not know who you are, though. I'm still figuring out that platform, so I do apologize if you are looking for a specific shout-out. If you would like such a thing, not necessarily that you are actively seeking my praise, then please do comment on one of the videos, and I will definitely shout you out. If you are not following on the Rumble yet, and you wish to get a shout-out for doing so, then comment and subscribe over on Rumble, because I don't know where it's going to show me who my subscribers are yet, even though I did dig when I noticed that we had some followers over there finally. So again, at Generally Nerdy, and we're moving right along. And now we have Twitter in the shout-out section. We have two new Twitter followers. We have TTV Ben the Killer 657YT. You also, Mr. Ben the Killer, follow on the YouTube, so thank you very much, Nerd, for the follow, and thank you for the interactions on the socials. I appreciate that. And then the newest one is NXS Frozen Onyx. Thank you very much for the follow. I think you're following because of the Halo content. That is where I post impromptu Halo clips, so if you are down for that, if you like to do the Halo stuff, then that is the place to do it. Actually, that's where I post all of my impromptu gaming clips, so at generally_nerdy on Twitter. Now, Instagram shoutouts. We have a couple of there. We have Nate19862, Jeremy Basiger, 10, and Tabmach99 is now following on the Instagram as well as on the Twitter. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow. I am extremely honored, especially by Tabmach99, kind of an icon in the Mortal Kombat community. I appreciate you, sir. If you wish to get your shout out for the Instagram follow, at as usual, Generally Nerdy, at Generally Nerdy, I don't mean to make that confusing, but at Generally Nerdy is a place to go to follow on Instagram. Then we're going to do Facebook follows real quick over on the Facebook gaming page at Generally Nerdy Gaming. We have Nisha Singh is a new follower over there. Thank you very much, Nerd, for the follow. If you want to see the full VODs over on Facebook, that is the place to do it. Or if you just want to see other random updates, you can follow the Generally Nerdy page. Or if you are down for the photography stuff, that again is getting its own channel eventually, then you can check out Generally Nerdy Photography. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow. Now let's get into the YouTube portion of shoutouts. This has evolved into more than just shoutouts. This is shoutouts as well as comments, responding to user comments or viewer comments. So first and foremost, the shoutouts. We do have two new followers or subscribers rather on YouTube who have their settings set to public. So thank you very much, Elf Geek and Mo Banhart, for the subscribes over on the YouTube. That is where all of the things go. If you're watching this section on a shorts outlet or something along those lines, then you need to go check out the main channel on YouTube, youtube.com/generallynerdy, or for the bite-sized content, it is youtube.com/nerdnewsclips. That's where we post the individual things and the smaller bits for your easy consumption. All right, so shout outs for this. Let's get into the comments. We have... all right, so this is, I posted a short on all of the platforms that only seem to get responses. Actually, we have no TikTok shout outs for this section because I forgot to check those. So my apologies, TikTok followers, you will get your shout out in the next episode. But yeah, so I posted some shorts and one of those shorts was about the recent, one of the recent leaks on Halo Infinite Forge, which is going to be coming out sometime at the end of the year, it seems. And there are, for some reason, dead brutes in the Forge, and I was very confused as to why this was a thing, because I was not thinking about Machinima stuff, because I don't know why. Red versus Blue is one of my favorite Machinima shows. So, and not Machinima the channel, Machinima the art style, where you take a video game and use that to animate your story. I wasn't thinking of storytelling. I was thinking of map building so you can do some multiplayer action with the kills and the things and the stuff. Yeah, so very interesting. The users who commented on this one, we have NexQs, Narathan and DarkDoom60. All of these people pointed out that it was for storytelling purposes, and I went, oh, that makes a lot more sense. So I do now understand that. But I think what I was kind of more inferring for the Dead Brute models when I first recorded that short was, are we going to get brute, playable brute characters in multiplayer, or is it just going to be Covenant, like Arbiter style? Again, I can't remember the name of the race of that character, so if you know, please, by all means, let me know in the comments. But yeah, I that was more of my inference, even though it was a very, very subtle inference. I think that's where I was going with that. I honestly, ADHD kind of... I don't remember exactly what my brain was thinking at the moment, but that's, I'm pretty sure, what I was doing. So, and also, Doom, what is his name again? DarkDoom60. It's a little nuts, not gonna lie. It's a little dark, bro. A little dark, but I guess it's in your name, so it makes sense. Anyway, so our next, we have a couple more people talking about Orville Peck, specifically Connor and Dave Campero. So Dave's comment was that Orville is not using a pitch correction technique. It is, in fact, a yodel technique to make that jump. There, I can hear what you're thinking is a yodel, and that makes sense, and I appreciate the intellectual honesty. I still feel like, and I've listened to it probably almost a half a dozen more times since last we spoke, I still feel like there is a pitch correction issue there that makes it sound inhuman. Pitch correction is a normal thing. It is something that a lot of pop music uses. I think it is unnecessary if you have somebody as talented as Orville doing vocals. And this very well could be a stylistic choice. Very specifically, I say that because in two other points in the song, Orville hits these notes, but he does a more human-sounding slide, so it was not overly pitch-corrected, if at all. And it sounds better than the two or three parts where the pitch correction is an issue. So, like, I don't understand why it was done. Still, nobody has given me an argument that has really changed my mind as to whether or not that is actually pitch correction. I am, like, 90% certain that that was a pitch correction issue. Though I do leave that 10% open because, yeah, I can see maybe how you can hear that as a yodel, but go listen to, oh, I can't remember the Hank Williams song now. There's a Hank Williams song that I put in the comments of that video that there's some obvious yodeling there and some prime example of a great yodel, and it doesn't sound like the same vocal technique. This sounds mechanical, that sounds human. So that is my response to Mr. Dave Campero. Though I did not think of a yodel when I initially did that, so thank you very much for changing at least the angle through which I am making my argument. And then the Brit who cares... Oh, wait, no, we're still talking about Orville, aren't we? So Connor is the next person I was going to address. Connor said that music is art and trying to make it as perfect as possible is the point. So why do I care about pitch correction being an audio engineer like I am? Because when you're dealing with human voices, pitch correction, much like drum replacement over on the metal drums side of thing, pitch correction is an issue because it takes out the soul of the performance or the style and flavor of the performer. When you have somebody as ridiculously talented as Orville Peck, there are subtleties in the way he delivers those notes. So if you pitch correct, you remove all of those subtleties, and then it could literally be anyone. And I mean literally be anything even, because in Japan, there is this music trend where it is music sung by an AI. It is not even a real person, because pitch correction and auto-tune and these kinds of tools are really awesome, and it's really cool that you can do these things with AI, but it's not human anymore and lacks some of the subtleties and lacks some of the things that make a lot of people connect to music at that same level because it's robots, because it's done mechanically. So that's why I think it is important to get the best performance from your artist and not correct it in the computer in post. So there's that. All right, now we're talking about the Brit who cares. The Brit who cares. This was a comment on the Bioshock short that where we're talking about the Bioshock movie that's going to Netflix. This guy tried to post a link to his channel. I think he has like 22 subscribers. I understand what you're trying to do here, boss, but that is not how you get views on your video. I'm sorry. Do some research, do the things. I'm still learning how to get the views on my videos and the listens on my episodes, but that's not how you do it. You don't link to your video in the comment section of somebody else's video. So I'm still kind of riding the fence whether or not I'm actually going to keep this comment up, but as it stands right now, it is still there. So appreciate the enthusiasm, but aim it in a little bit of a different direction. Continuing on with the Bioshock issues... we have Cameron Cassie, I think is how that's said. Bioshock, the video, his suggestion in the comments section was the quality of this movie is going to depend greatly on who is sitting behind the director's chair. And I keep saying movie, it's because I'm pretty sure that's the way my brain remembered it. If it's a series, I apologize, and it's a total brain fart, but I'm like 98% certain it was movie that they were going to do, not a series. Anyway, so Netflix, the comment from Cameron Cassie is, he thinks that somebody very talented should be in that director's chair, and that somebody in this suggestion is Mike Flanagan, which is a very interesting thought. Mike Flanagan directing Bioshock, like, it's outside of his wheelhouse, because traditionally speaking, he works from fiction, I guess Bioshock is technically fiction, from literary fiction is more specifically where I was going with that. So it would be outside of his comfort zone. I feel like Flanagan does his best work as a series showrunner slash director, writer, so on and so forth, because then he has the time to tell the story. I feel like if you compare Dr. Sleep to, say, Haunting of Bly Manor or Haunting on Hill House or whichever, or at Hill House, then you start to notice how the shorter form of a movie versus the longer form of a series, that shorter form is not exactly his forte. Flanagan does amazing work in series format where he can have 10 hours to tell us a story. But if you have to cut that down to 2, even 2.5 hours, he starts to make some questionable decisions. I think that there's some things in Dr. Sleep that don't work as well as they should. Even though I do really, really like Dr. Sleep, his best work is done in serial format. So I don't know if I necessarily agree, though he would be a fantastic choice. I honestly can't even think think of somebody better to fit such a genre style film, because like obviously Fincher's a better director, but Fincher doesn't do this kind of genre film. So I'm gonna hand this one off, because thank you very much to again Cameron Cassie. I thank you very much for the idea, but I'm gonna hand this one off to you viewers and listeners. Which director, I guess I should be a little bit more specific. Which director do you think would be better suited than Mike Flanagan for the Netflix BioShock movie? And again, if it's a series, I apologize that I misremembered it and I'm just really leaning into that movie idea. But we do have one more Orville that I didn't see in the notes. One more Orville comment from CC Widershins. Widershins? Widershins? It's two D's, so Widershins? That was kind of maybe a compliment to my Orville Peck reaction, so I guess thanks, even though it seems like a little bit of a backhanded compliment, because it starts out, seemingly, a lot of nuance is lost through text, but seemingly it starts out a little hostile, but then at the end it said good reaction, so thank you. But that is our viewer comments section for this episode. Now we're talking about TV streaming, and as per usual, this is probably the biggest section of the episode. TV streaming, we have two follow-ups. First up is the Winchesters series. We have some casting announcements that we're going to be going over. So let's just go over the entire cast as we have it so far. So Matt Cohen and Amy Guminick, I think, will be playing John and Mary Winchester, respectively. Mary Winchester starts the series off as her maiden name, Mary Campbell. So that's pretty cool. Jensen Ackles will be returning as Dean Winchester, primarily as just the narrator, though I would imagine eventually we will be seeing his face, because Hollywood. And then we have two new casting announcements. We have Nita Kershid, who is from Chicago. No, the Funny Cop Show. Has been cast as Latika Desai. She is a new hunter in training in the series. And then Jojo Fleitas, who is a newcomer to the acting world, has been cast as Carlos Cervantes. And he will be a seasoned member of the team. So what that, and that's a quote, a paraphrased quote, but a quote nonetheless, from the official announcement from the CW that this is going to be a team of hunters. So we're going to see something of a little bit of a change in the dynamic for the storytelling in this Winchester's series, which kind of has me intrigued, not gonna lie. Our next follow-up has to do with Star Trek Strange New Worlds. It is also a casting announcement. This casting announcement is Paul Wesley is going to be playing James Tiberius Kirk. Paul Wesley, you may or may not know, is from the Vampire Diaries, so weird. But he's a young James Kirk, so, and this is the young James Kirk that is going to be, that is going to become William Shatner. So, interesting casting decision, but we'll see how it pans out when this show launches. So next, let's get into trailers. We do have a boatload of trailers that have released this week. First off, we have the Umbrella Academy Season 3 teaser trailer. It is sub 1 minute. Season 3 will be launching June 22nd of this year, and this is the introduction of the Sparrow Academy. So yeah, things are going to get really crazy in season 3, and I dig it. The Boys has dropped its first trailer. I am going to warn you, this is very not safe for work. There is a lot of blood and language, so watch at your own risk. The new season for The Boys is June 3rd. This trailer is bonkers, as is to be expected from the people who bring us The Boys. Next, we have that new Obi-Wan trailer. That series coming out May 25th. As we talked about in the live show, they kicked this thing off literally as I was editing and uploading the last proper episode, the last pre-recorded episode. So unfortunately, we couldn't talk about it then. We're talking about it now because there's some questionable in here, like the Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor, looks wrong, to put that nicely, but still has us pretty intrigued enough that it is fueling a lot of the rumors in the rumors section, so stick around for that. We also have a new trailer for the Pentaveret new series over on Netflix from the mind. I almost keep wanting to say minds because Mike Myers is the guy who created the show, created the movie from which this reference comes from, and is playing, I think the final count is 8 different characters in this series. 5 of those 8 are going to be the 5 points of the Pentaveret. I think that's freaking awesome. If you appreciate Mike Myers' sense of humor, and honestly, who doesn't? It's mostly clean comedy with a bit of an edge that definitely, yeah, I can't get enough of. Oh, you should watch this trailer and definitely should watch this series. And then we're going to kick next. Our next trailer is the new Halo trailer. This is the second trailer for the series. It comes out March 24th, so the end of this month. And we have started to get some early reviews from people who are inclined to do such things. And it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of what the fans are afraid of and also a little bit of what the fans are wanting. So hopefully their inclinations are wrong and it's a lot of bit of what we're wanting and a little bit of what we're afraid of, but only time will tell. Next, we have the trailer for Metal Lords, this series coming on Netflix April 8th. This is the series that Tom Morello is the music consultant, producer, something for, and it looks like it looks unintentionally funny, but also kind of intentionally funny. So I don't know. I'm gonna throw this one off to you guys. What do you think, if you are so inclined to be a metal music listener? What do you think this series is going to be? And are you going to watch it when it drops on April 8th? Then we have our final trailer for this episode, and that is the new Ms. Marvel trailer. Ms. Marvel launching June 8th. This looks... It looks like it's going to be great for their target audience. I think that's the only people that are going to watch this, though. This is not going to be one that brings in a new audience to the Marvel Disney Plus series side of things, because it's just a little too teenage girly. But that's how the comic book was, so that makes sense. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like their target audience is really the people who are going to watch it by and large. And then they're just going to get ripped apart by the fandom, by the overall Marvel fandom, because they're trying to entice new viewers who aren't going to watch a superhero story anyway. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of sticky bits to this, and it looks like it's going to be good for what it is. Just what it is not going to be something that a lot of people are really into, I feel like. So if I'm wrong, definitely let me know in the comment section. But we are continuing into news for TV streaming. So our first piece of news is the announcement of a Harley Quinn, the animated Harley Quinn series on HBO Max, is getting a spin-off called Noonans. This is going to revolve around Kite Man, who now owns the titular bar in this animated Gotham world, and it's going to be treated like the bar kind of was implied to be, in that it's going to be a Cheers almost for supervillains in the city of Gotham. So we're very likely going to be seeing the likes of Lex Luthor and Bane added to this universe, to this animated series, and just I think this could be honestly great. As much as I really, really liked that Harley Quinn series, and that it takes a lot for me to really get into something that is based around Harley Quinn. As much as I really liked that Harley Quinn series, I think this is going to be a perfect complement to it. I don't think it will be able to exist on its own. So if Harley Quinn tanks, then this is going to tank as well. But I think this could be a whole lot of fun. So that's what we got there. Our next piece for TV streaming is a bit of a suck note. It's a downer. If you were a watcher of the WWE back before it was the WWE, when it was still WWF, and WCW were separate, then you'll remember the NWO, the New World Order, the Wolfpack, and so on and so forth. Man, when I was like 13, that was my jam. And Scott Hall, aka Razor Ramon, was a big part of that whole storyline within the WWE. at the time, and so kind of has a little bit of a weird place in my heart, and probably a pretty nice place in the hearts of a lot of people who continued to watch the wrestling. But he, unfortunately, over the last little while has been struggling with some health issues and went into a coma and was put on life support a number of weeks ago. And it was made known by Kevin Nash, his friend, also a wrestler, and Scott Hall's family that they were going to be taking him off of life support sometime soon. Well, it happened that two nights ago they did such a thing. They did take Scott off of life support and he did pass away. He has been really instrumental in the popularity of the WWE for a long time. And it's with a heavy heart that we got to take this moment to remember Scott Hall. So, coming out of that, we have TV streaming suggestions. So, I have one suggestion, and it's really because, and we've done this suggestion a number of times, it's really because it was so affecting. The season four has come to an end, and the final two episodes were hilarious, incredibly funny, and also super affecting. Like, I've never almost been brought to tears, or been brought to tears, not even gonna front on that one, been brought to tears by a comedy show. And this show did that to me twice in the final two episodes. So yeah, very, very much, if you have not watched Miss Maisel, you really, really need to. Amazon Prime is where you can watch it. It is so incredibly well-crafted and expertly done. Even though it's from the same lady who brought us the Gilmore Girls, like, it is not that kind of show. This is just, cinematography nerds will get immense pleasure out of this show because the cinematography is so gorgeous. The writing in this is expertly crafted. This is that Aaron Sorkin kind of level of idealized dialogue between characters, and to such a degree that I think even Aaron Sorkin would be like, that was well written. Just an amazing show all over, and definitely deserves your time. Again, Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon Prime. That is our suggestion for TV streaming this episode. Now we are moving into the movies section. So movies, we have a couple of follow-ups. First up, we have Doctor Strange. We have a follow-up from producer Richie Palmer. According to Mr. Palmer, that cameo that we're going to be getting from Patrick Stewart as Professor X is not going to be exactly what we think it's going to be. Again, according to producer Palmer, that is going to be a different variant of Professor X. It is going to be Professor X. It's just not going to be the Professor X from the Fox Marvel movies, which has led some nerds to be like, well, that means he's going to be in this series in the MCU now that they have rights to the mutants. I don't think that's a thing. And we're not going to address that one in the rumor section because I don't think that's a thing at all. But I do think that's a pretty interesting take. It does leave open the door for us to see the Fox Marvel Professor X in a later date, perhaps for the Secret Wars movie that's very likely going to be happening. But yeah, that's what we got. So we're going to move on before I start stumbling. Our other follow-up has to do with Dune 2. Denis Villeneuve has made it known that the script is finished, so they will be moving into pre-production very soon. Very awesome, but that's all we got, so we got to move right along. We have one trailer, this new trailer for Sonic 2. This is the final trailer before the movie drops April 8th. And this, honestly, this is ramping up the hype machine so great. As much as there was awesomeness in that first movie, there was definitely a lot of stuff that felt a little bit out of place. Definitely a lot of stuff that they were taking creative liberties with when it came to adapting it to the movie. But in this second movie, there's a lot more game callbacks. And that's always good as long as it's done well. I feel like this is going to go even further into building up this Sega movie machine that we're very probably going to be seeing, because this looks like it is just going to do better than the first one. And that is not usually something you can say for a video game movie sequel, like at all. So yeah, pretty freaking awesome. Go check that out. That is our only trailer. We do have one piece of news in movies. And sadly to say, it is William Hurt. All right, so William Hurt, the man who played Thaddeus Ross, a.k.a. Thunderbolt, Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, for the MCU, as well as a number of other things. He was the dad in the Lost in Space movie in like 98 with Matt LeBlanc. He's done so much stuff that and a fair amount of it has been in the nerdy realm of things. So he's definitely a well-known to this side of pop culture kind of dude. And he had cancer and passed away over the last few days at the age of 71. So just an epic loss for nerd culture. So we're going to take a moment and remember William Hurt. And again, I need to stop putting these remembrance pieces at the ends before we get into suggestions, because then it feels really awkward transitioning into suggestions. For the movie section, we have two suggestions, one of which being, actually, I'm going to make it three suggestions. I'm going to say go watch the Lost in Space movie, because Gary Oldman plays the villain in that one. So you've got William Hurt as one of the main protagonists, and then Gary Oldman as the antagonist. What else could you possibly want? Some of the visuals don't really stand up to today, but it is still absolutely a fun watch. Our other suggestions are going to be So I Married an Axe Murderer, as we are getting ready to see this Pentaveret series in May. I believe May 5th is when it launches. We should see the groundwork that was laid for it in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Also, just a really funny freaking movie, so go watch that. And then the other one is a new movie recommend, and that is The Adam Project over on Netflix. This is another movie that is proof that we don't need to live in a sequel universe. We don't need to live in a place where, and I say that, and then next week they're going to announce that there's going to be a sequel because it did so well. But yeah, this movie stands alone. It's wrapped up with such a nice little bow that there's no need for a sequel. This movie is just exists unto itself and is kind of a beautiful piece for doing it. Is a bit of a genre piece. It is very much a science fiction movie. It is also Ryan Reynolds' vehicle, so it's Ryan Reynolds playing another variation of Deadpool again. But it's not a bad thing. This is such a fun movie to watch. You should go check it out if you have not done that already. That is what we have for suggestions in movies. And now we're down to the rumor mill. We have no confirmations. We have no refutations. We do have new sources. And this first new source is huge. So there have been Firefly rumors for a long time, and they've only ramped up since Disney bought Fox. And then a couple weeks ago, we covered a rumor that said that Fox is going to be rebooting Firefly. Actually, the rumor said it could either be a reboot or a continuation series, but it seemed that they were going to lean a little bit harder in the idea of a reboot, which made sense because they're probably going to cast younger actors. At least that was the way that I went with that rumor. So our new source has a number of things. We're going to break this down into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different rumors and before their probabilities. So the first bit is that there is word that the new series will be helmed by Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. Okay, this one we're gonna put it about 40% because I honestly don't believe that. This is a mediocre source. This is a source that has had a fair amount come true, but also has had a fair amount get shot down pretty horribly. So the Favreau-Filoni element, I don't think is going to be a thing. 40% likely that is going to be the case. And honestly, I think 40% is just a little bit of wishful thinking on my part, because that would be amazing. There's no better hands in the Disney camp right now to take care of a science fiction story such as Firefly. So 40% likelihood that Favreau and Filoni are going to have anything to do with this. The next piece is that it will officially be a part of the Star Wars universe, at least in a superficial manner. So now there is, you can look it up on YouTube, you can Google it, whatever. There is a fan theory that the Star Wars universe exists. Not necessarily that they exist together in the same, but they're like parallel universes or something along those lines, because there are some things that almost could be references from Firefly into Star Wars. And so if you're looking really hard and you want to believe such things, you can almost make the case the other direction. But this is going to make that a little more overt in that we're going to see a Firefly class ship in season 3 of The Mandalorian, is what this rumor says. I think that would be a fun little Easter egg, and I think that would definitely get the fandom a-brewing, if you will. But I don't know that Kathleen Kennedy is going to be one that's going to allow such a thing to happen in her universe. That's how I'm going to phrase that. So we're putting this one at about 50% likelihood that we're going to get a superficial reference to Firefly in the Star Wars universe, or vice versa. Our next piece of this rumor that we're breaking down is that this is not going to be super saccharine and forced family friendly like a lot of the fans are worried about. They're going to go with the same level of adult humor that we got in this, in the original show back in the 90s, or in the aughts, I believe. It's not going to be like an iCarly kind of situation. It's not going to be something that's super just gag me with a spoon kind of to coin a phrase, kind of saccharine, gross, just I don't want to watch this because it's too golly gee, dad, kind of comedy. This is going to be the same level of comedy. And it makes sense because Firefly came out roughly 20 years ago. So what was allowable on network television 20 years ago and what Disney is trying to keep on their streaming platform these days is kind of one in the same. So like you can make a show that is geared towards a more mature audience and not have it be blue and just a bunch of dick and fart jokes. So yeah, I honestly think that when this happens, because it's not a matter of if at this point, it's a matter of when this happens, that is the most logical course of action for them to take. So we're giving this one about 70% likelihood. And then we're moving right along. We have the Joss Whedon involvement. This rumor goes on to say that Joss Whedon will not be involved with this reboot. That was called into question with the previous rumor, and it seems to make sense that he won't be involved because of everything that's been going around Joss Whedon the last few years. So, 80% likelihood that at least to start, Joss will not be involved in this series. Now, is that to say that he will not ever be involved with this reboot or refresh or whatever? No, that's not to say that definitively, because there is still definitely a door for redemption, assuming that we want to be good human beings. Everyone deserves some redemption, right? So if Joss Whedon does get his redemption, then absolutely one day he will be involved with this series. So 80% likely that he won't be until that happens, though. And then our next piece of this rumor is kind of disheartening, but also kind of great. And it's that they're not going to be counting the Serenity movie as canon, which, again, is kind of crap because that was the conclusion of the story, right? So maybe they're going to fill in the gaps. Maybe they're going to pick up where the original series ended and then leave off where the Serenity movie begins. That would make sense, and then that kind of means that this is accurate, kind of. But that's not exactly what this rumor says. This rumor very explicitly says that they are not going to be counting that movie as canon at all because of the death of Book and the death of Wash. Those two characters are too big for this to not be included with a reboot or a revisit to this universe. So we're going to give that one about 60% likely, because I think that would be a good well to mine if they go in that direction. But I think the more likely possibility is that it's going to be, like I said, filling in the gaps between the end of the series and the beginning of the movie. So that makes a little bit more sense to me. What do you think? And then we have that transitions us kind of well into the last bit of this, and that is that the original cast is going to be reprising their roles, whereas, again, previously when we talked about rumors around this, it was unknown if it was going to be a reboot or a continuation. So if it's a reboot, there's no need for the original cast. If it's a continuation, then you better be getting the original cast. So if you take into consideration that they might be, at the very least, moving the storyline into a different section, then it makes sense that they would be going for the original cast. And that is, of all the possible scenarios for this to do well, that is the best possible scenario for this to do well. I do also assume that if this is the case, that they're only going to be doing this as a kind of limited series, in that it might get maybe only one season, which is that going to be enough if they do this at all? Because a vast majority of the fandom doesn't even want Disney to touch it. They just want Disney to maybe re-release it in a higher resolution format. But do they want a reboot of this series? Not really. Approximately 70% of fans who were polled just want the original to be left alone because it's perfect in and of itself. And you get the bookend with the movie that kind of wraps everything up, not necessarily in a tidy little bow, but it wraps it up fairly well-ish. So yeah, that's what we've got for Firefly. We do have one other news source, and that is Halo Infinite. This is another gaming Halo rumor, and that is another potential leak for Battle Royale mode. This one, if you look at the image that was quote-unquote leaked, it's not exactly what the rumor says it is. Because it's a new mode, sure, that is without question. But it's a new mode that has some elements that borrow from Battle Royale style gameplay. It's not that it is a Battle Royale in and of itself. And we saw that with attrition already. We saw the closing, the circle of pain, I guess. We saw that in attrition when that was the game mode a few events back, that they're going to be borrowing from the ideas of other big free-to-play games, and most other big free-to-play games are Battle Royale games. So they're going to use elements from that, sure, but we're putting this one down 30% likelihood, which is approximately where it was last time we talked about the potential for a Battle Royale mode in Halo Infinite. I don't think it's going to happen. This does kind of suggest such a thing, but this more suggests a new game mode that borrows some Battle Royale ideas. So again, 30% likelihood. Now let's move into brand new rumors. We have some brand new Obi-Wan rumors, and all of our rumors today are Star Wars rumors. So if you don't want to hear about Star Wars rumors, thank you for watching or listening or whatever. But we do have Obi-Wan to talk about first. This new rumor has kind of been shot down, but in a not quite so believable way. This new rumor is that the reason for those reshoots, the reason they threw out the scripts about a year and a half, was it 2 years ago now? Because we were supposed to get Obi-Wan a while ago, but they threw out everything that they had and they started fresh with new scripts. And the reason for that, according to this rumor, is because Darth Maul was included in that original series idea, as well as a kind of a dynamic that would echo what we got in The Mandalorian with Mandalorian, Din Djarin, and Grogu. We're going to get that kind of character dynamic between Obi-Wan and a young Luke Skywalker with Darth Maul as the villain. And so it was seen as concerning by the people who were making it. That concern found its way up to Kathleen Kennedy. Kathleen said, let's axe it and do something else. And then Favreau and Filoni said, let's go bigger. Let's go bigger, bigger, bigger. And now we have Darth Vader as the villain. We have a much more universal involved storyline. So there's going to be a lot more in the universe, it sounds like. And that's kind of all, it all ties in with this idea that originally the scope was too small and resembled too closely The Mandalorian. So the likelihood that this is true, I'm going to give it a 50%. And that's largely because that we did get a producer come out and say, that's not the way I remember it. And it's also a new source, so I'm waiting to see their validity, so I can't give them too much weight. But the 50% likely that that was the reason for the reshoots. Our next Star Wars rumor is a more meta version of a Star Wars rumor, and that is that there's going to be a new movie in the works. brought to you by the likes of Damon Lindelof. If you don't remember that name, or you heard that name but you don't know why, it's because this is the guy that gave us the HBO Watchmen series that I really didn't like. And for reasons we've already discussed, it has nothing to do with necessarily the subject matter, just what they did to one of my favorite characters. Anyway, so this rumor says that Damon Lindelof is going to be directing his very own Star Wars movie. No reason to believe one way or the other, aside from the fact that Lindelof would be a director that Kennedy and company would want to bring into the fold, because he will definitely be falling in line with the company motto, and that is, social justice is the way we're going. So it makes a little bit of sense, but again, new source, 50% likelihood that this is going to happen. And we've seen these things happen and then fall through before they officially get announced. So take with that a grain of salt. Our next rumor has to do with Mandalorian. This is actually kind of two different rumors. Again, same source, same rumor though. And the first half of this is that season 3 of Mandalorian is going to take place very heavily, or is going to feature rather very heavily the caves of Mandalore. And yeah, of course it is, because that was the setup. So this is not really a rumor. This is just somebody rumor mongering saying, oh, I've got news that everybody already knows. So 90%, I would be very surprised if this didn't happen, that we saw the caves of Mandalore, because, you know, we have Din trying to become the Mandalorian. Anyway, and then the other half of this rumor is that as part of that, we're going to be seeing the Mythosaur. The Mythosaur is going to awaken, and it is going to be a battle between Din Djarin and the Mythosaur. So this one I'm going to give about 70%, because I think Filoni and Favreau are going to do the fan service-y thing, and they are going to bring in something as epic as the Mythosaur. Yeah, I think there's a pretty safe bet for that. But this is not based on previous knowledge like the other half of this rumor is. So yeah, definitely gonna give it a little bit more leeway to not be accurate at 70%. Our next rumor comes from a different Star Wars series, Andor, which we still technically do not have a release date for, now is rumored to be coming out in August. There is a gap in the Disney Plus release schedule round about that time. There are a number of other gaps as well, so it could come sooner, it could come later, but this is a pretty safe gap, because this is going to be ramping into the holiday season, which is going to be very Star Wars heavy, and a very Disney heavy, Disney Marvel Star Wars. Wow, they are just printing money these days. So likelihood that we're going to be seeing Andor this year, I think, is pretty strong with that window there. 70% likelihood that we are going to be seeing Andor in August of this year. And that, Nerdy Legion, is where your episode of Comic Talk Headlines ends. If you are falling behind on any of your nerd news and you want to catch up, then you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. If you want to go deeper into comics and comic culture, then you can check out nerdylegion.com for all of the other podcasts we offer on the subject. Don't forget to tune in next time, and we'll see you there.